This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
What is up, everybody? DeAndre Koch here. Welcome to another weekly edition of the Quick Hits, our weekly up-to-date news in the travel and points and miles world. Have a few updates for this week. First, starting out with an update to last week. So I love when listeners reach out and provide feedback of all sorts, the positive and the negative, which it's 99.9% positive. Actually, there's never been anything negative. But my follow-up to that is Advait, who goes by Miles Beyond Borders on Instagram, who is huge in the points and miles world, and we're looking actually to get him on a show for a future episode. He actually reached out and gave me a correction that I want to provide for all of you guys for last week's quick hits. So his message to me was, hey, was checking your latest podcast. Great updates as always. You mentioned that the Chase IHG Card 60K offer certificates can be topped off. Heads up, IHG is smart. You can't top off these certs unlike the 40K certificate that come annually. Just sharing as we learned this the hard way last year with a bunch of laughing emojis. Thanks for all the great content. So Advait, definitely appreciate that. I did not know that. So for you all, if you caught last week's quick hits, I mentioned how huge of an offer that the Chase IHG or Premier One Rewards card is, because essentially they're offering you up to 5 nights free, a 60K certificate, or each night certificate worth 60,000 points per night. I thought like their 40K certificates, it was going to be able to be topped off. Apparently you can't. So that's something to know. So I do apologize for having a little bit of wrong information there. I still think it's a huge opportunity, huge value. We've stayed in incredible places that their cost per night was less than 60K IHG points, but just something to know if that was part of your decision-making process and you haven't applied yet, that those 60K certificates you cannot top off. For the Hyatt fans out there, there is a new Caribbean option that I'm super excited about. I think we're going to put this on our list to get to at some point, and that's the Secret St. Lucia Resort and Spa. It's a brand new adults-only all-inclusive resort on Chalk Bay, and because it's Secrets, that means it's a Hyatt property, and it is a Category C. So if you've been a follower of the podcast for a while, you know that Taryn and myself, we love the adults-only all-inclusive world. We've stayed at a good amount of adults-only properties, but Secrets to be specific. And so this property is 21,000 points off-peak, 25,000 points standard, and 29,000 points peak. And that's per night and for two guests, which is amazing. And that is all-inclusive. Additional guests usually cost around 10,000 to 15,000 points per night. So one of the things that you're going to want to know, especially when you're booking adults only or all-inclusive resorts in general, not just adults only, with Hyatt points, be very, very careful that you've actually put in the correct amount of adults or people in the room in general. I've made this mistake before because when I'm booking hotels, I usually don't worry about putting two guests versus one. I usually just put one. But when it comes to booking something with points and it's all inclusive, there is an additional cost per person. So you do want to make sure that you include that also. So the resort has about 355 island-inspired suites, 9 restaurants. It's only about an hour and 15 minutes from the airport. And the cash rates are starting around $550 per night. So the redemptions should line up with close to 2 cents per point, which is of pretty strong value. So something to keep a look at. I believe you can start booking this starting November 1st of this year going forward. So something to put on your bucket list if you've never been to St. Lucia. It's a very, very beautiful island. I would highly recommend you take a trip out there, and I'm absolutely going to put this on the list for us to get to at some point in the future. Unfortunately, a little bit of another devaluation. This one probably not going to affect too many people, but just something to know about. Iberia is devaluing their Avios, and it's been a sweet spot in the award travel world, but it's going to be a little less sweet now. So they've quietly increased the number of Avios required for some of their award flights, and that's most notably impacting one of the best business class redemptions, which was the East Coast of the U.S. to Madrid. So previously, you could book this route for about 34,000 Avios in business class, and that was during their off-peak dates. But now that's gone up to 40,500. So that's about a 19% increase by itself. So routes between 3,000 to 4,000 miles, which would be like, you know, JFK or Boston to Madrid, those now price at 40,500 avios off-peak and 59,000 avios for peak. So it's still a, you know, solid deal compared to a lot of other options, but it's no longer as good as it used to be. But keep in mind that as of this recording, there's still currently a 30% Amex transfer bonus to Avios. So you don't have to transfer the full amount. So you'd only actually need 32,000 Amex points to book that 40,500 Avios flight. So for right now, that softens the blow a little bit. So pretty awesome update that's coming from the frequent miler, Greg from the frequent miler specifically. As you know, Emirates Skywards recently restricted first class award booking to elite members only. We've talked about that on previous quick hits, but there's still a backdoor option for non-elites, and that is the upgrading at the airport with miles. And this is something that we weren't sure of if this would happen or not. And I believe Frequent Miler is the first to actually report that it is doable. And that is exactly how Taryn and I were able to fly first class on Emirates, was on our trip back from the Maldives. I've mentioned this many times, but we went to the airport in Mali in the Maldives in our flight from Maldives to Dubai, asked them if they had first class availability. I had saw on the app that there was the day before. They still had it. While at the airport in front of the counter, I literally transferred about 30,000 Amex points to Emirates per person and upgrade us to first class. And that was where we had the Dom in this and Caviar in the sky and all those different things. So that is still an option. So Greg said that he and his wife used 39,000 Emirates miles each to upgrade from business class to first class on the Milan to JFK route at check-in. And so something that you need to know, though, is that you must book the original business class ticket with Emirates miles. So you can't book that through partners like Aeroplan or Qantas to be able to get this eligible upgrade. And the upgrades are only allowed one class. So if you book economy, you can use points to upgrade to business or business to first. And it must be a seat that hasn't been sold. And availability is usually determined at the check-in counter. So that's when, again, you have to be prepared to A, have the points available, and B, be ready to transfer those points so you're not holding up the line. I have heard some horror stories. I believe it was Julia with GeoBreeze said that she went to go transfer at the counter for one of her flights on Emirates, and her points, for whatever reason in that moment, took like 2 or 3 days to actually transfer, when that wasn't typically the case. So just be prepared that that might not work as perfectly as you would like it to be. And while talking about Emirates, just so you know, if you do have Citi points that you've been building up and planning to transfer to Emirates, I think that's probably a huge minority of people, but I think it's worth mentioning because most people are usually looking to transfer their Amex points, if anything, to Emirates. But let's just say you've been super focused or you have a ton of Citi points you've been accruing over the past few years. Starting July 27th of this year, Citi's thank you rewards will reduce their transfer ratio by 20%. So right now, 1,000 thank you points transfers to 1,000 Emirates Skywards miles. But after July 27th, or starting July 27th, I should say, 1,000 thank you points will only get you 800 Emirates Skyward miles. So obviously you never want to do a speculative transfer, especially because Emirates has some strict rules around their points. I believe they expire after maybe it's 3 years, I believe. So I would not speculatively transfer. But if you do have a booking that you know you've been planning on working on and you know roughly how many points you're going to need and you are planning on doing this, you definitely want to take advantage before these devaluation essentially happens and your transfer ratio drops by 20%. So in our ongoing Zill Money payroll on credit card saga that I've been keeping all of you updated on for the last few months here, things are looking a little bit more promising. I did reach out and this week got an answer that they're expected to be back the last week of June. Now, in our Facebook group, in the Facebook Messenger chat specifically, someone commented, well, that's the same thing we heard in March, April, and May, which is very valid as well. But this is still in line with what they had said in May, in my last update, that they were thinking it was going to be about June for the feature to be live. I'm very confident they're losing a lot of money on the lack of ability to process any credit card transactions. Big part of their platform is to be able to pay vendors via credit card, not just the payroll side. I think that's actually a smaller feature with more and more people interested in doing it. but they don't have any credit card processing that's active right now. So I have a feeling that this is probably something that's all hands on deck for them. So the specific response I got was, please be informed that our card payment option will not be available until the last week of June. This is one of our premium features, and based on the latest update, it will be accessible to all customers by this month. However, we cannot currently provide an estimated time of its return. We appreciate your patience until the end of this month. So we will see if it was going to be active by the end of June. You will hear it here if it is. I'm sure someone will catch it in the Facebook group, and if they catch it before me, they'll put it there as well. So I am still eagerly waiting for the payroll on credit card function to come back. I was looking through my list because I still have my same account. And for I know there's people that have listened to this podcast, they've come in, probably found maybe our blog post or heard of our episodes on other podcasts talking about payroll on card. And since you've came in, the function has been down. Just to give any of you that's newer to the show some background, I actually checked. I've ran successfully 36 payrolls up until the point that it got shut down. And we run our payrolls twice a month. So that's almost a year and a half of processing payroll with never having an issue up to this update. I jokingly have said, I think by me telling the masses it's an option, we may have overloaded their system. I know that's exactly what happened when they were available for 2 days after being shut down for a month. They came online for 2 or 3 days, and I think we overloaded their system those 3 days they came back. And so now they're really working to make sure that things are properly in place. So we'll see what happens there. Another update that I have that is fairly interesting. Now, this is purely rumor, so this is not confirmed, but it's a very strong rumor by a very reputable source. And since this rumor started, Chase has actually updated some of their advertising to talk through the Chase Sapphire Reserve's summer refresh coming summer 2025. Now, Doctor of Credit has basically been providing updates on what is likely to happen. And so I'm going to read through the list of rumored changes for this card. Again, I keep stressing the word rumor because this is not for sure, but these are due to some leaks that people have found. And you just don't know how the internet is. Nothing is ever a secret, but this is likely what we're looking at. And specifically, these changes, more details are supposed to come June 17th, and the changes are supposed to go live either June 20th or 21st. Again, we shall see how closely these dates align. And also, significant parts of the old program will be grandfathered for a significant amount of time for existing cardholders. That's what Doctor of Credit updated this week. So what are we talking about here? Well, the annual fee is looking to be increased from $550 to $795, which I believe makes it the most expensive credit card outside of the Centurion card, the Black card, which is a $5,000 annual fee, because even the Amex Business Platinum is only $695. So this makes it now, I believe, the highest or most expensive business card. So the changes, the 10X Chase Travel Hotel and Cars is going to get reduced to 8X. 5X Chase Travel Flights increased to 8X. So if you book a flight through Chase, which I'd almost never recommend you book a flight through a third-party carrier, but that's increased to 8X. 3X Direct Flights, so 3x points on direct flights and hotels, is now increased to 4x. And 3X Other Travel has been reduced to 1x, which is interesting if that sticks, because currently Lyft, Uber, anything that was just travel in general was 3X, but that's all getting reduced to 1X again on all the rumored benefits. Some new benefits, $500 edit credit, which is essentially very similar to Amex's Fine Hotel and Resort. So it's a hotel portal run by Chase for select hotels. These are probably going to be hotels that are $500 to $1,000 more per night, but you're supposedly going to get $250 twice a year in credit. $300 dining credit via Sapphire Reserve Tables, which will be $150 semi-annually. $300 StubHub credit, again, $150 semi-annually. $300 DoorDash credit, which is $25 a month, which is pretty cool. It pays for $120 per year DoorDash membership. $250 towards Apple TV and Plus and Apple Music, $120 Lyft credit, which is $10 per month, and $120 Peloton credit, which is $10 per month as well. And it seems like there's going to be an elevated category as well. So if you spend $75,000 on the card, you'll get a $500 credit towards Southwest. You'll get Southwest A-list status and IHG One Rewards Diamond Elite status, which is, I think, probably fairly a significant benefit there. And then a $250 The Shops credit. Now, again, none of this is 100% verified. I know everyone listening to this podcast are always eagerly awaiting the travel updates and such. So I wanted to throw those out there. Once we get the full, true, detailed breakdown, likely the week after next, we will definitely unpack what these are and talk through them. But I'm curious, were any of the things I said enough to make you say, okay, a $245 fee increase is worth it for me? Or are you thinking about canceling? And lastly, we're going to wrap up with a question that was asked in the Facebook group. This one comes from Amy. It was a fantastic question that she asked, so I wanted to share this on air just in case it could help anyone else that may have a child going to college. So Amy said, my college student is an authorized user on my personal Venture X. She received a mailer for the Venture Saver card, 3% cash back on groceries and restaurants targeted to college students. Is it worth it so she can start building her own credit? So my response to Amy was, yes, it is worth it. If she has any income, even part-time, getting her own card like the Capital One Saver One student is a great way to start building credit early. It earns 3% back on dining, groceries, entertainment, and streaming with no annual fees, and it reports to all three credit bureaus. Being an authorized user on your Venture X helps, but having her own account builds her credit profile faster. Just make sure she pays it in full and keeps her balance low. Also, it does earn cash back, not miles, but if she later gets a Venture, Venture One, or Venture X, she can convert that cash back to miles at a one-to-one rate and transfer to travel partners, so it can become transferable points later if she moves into the Venture family. Hope this helps. So a couple other anecdotal points I'll add to this as well is that if this were yourself or your child, make sure that they don't just upgrade to the Venture or Venture X card from this card, because then they could very likely lose the opportunity to get that signup bonus. So one thing would be to eventually get separately, especially if they're understanding the points and miles world and responsibility, to eventually plan to get a Venture card so that they can have the transferable points. The other thing to keep in mind as well for parents that are putting children on as authorized users on your credit card, not that there's anything wrong with that at all. We actually had one of our most popular episodes from last year, it's a very early episode in the podcast, but our guest Adam Garrett back in episode 18 actually talked a lot at length about how he has essentially added his newborn child at the time to his credit card as an authorized user. The reason why is because basically by his time his child gets to college age, they would have an average age of credit history of something like 18 years or so. Now, one thing to note about this, though, is that you want to make sure that you do that on a zero fee card, a card you're very likely to never close or get rid of, because then you're going to lower their average credit age of history if you close that account and they're an authorized user on it. So something like the Venture X, again, not that there's anything wrong with adding your child as an authorized user, with things like their lounge rules changing and things like that, if you ever decide that you're getting rid of that, well, that doesn't just affect your average age of credit history, but it does affect the person that's linked to the card as an authorized user as well. So just something for parents to know out there. It can make a lot of sense to add your child, even your minor child or toddler child, as an authorized user to your card and help them build their credit profile over time. Very smart things to do to help set them up for success. And of course, teaching them the proper habits of fiscal and financial responsibility along the way. So that is it, everybody. I hope everyone has had a fantastic week. Again, I always like to just end this by thanking all of you for listening to the show on a weekly basis, for liking, for the comments, for the feedback, for the engagement. It keeps me fired up to keep bringing you guys great content and great news, both on the podcast and through social media and YouTube and everything else. So really appreciate the support. Hope everyone has had a fantastic week, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.